Welcome to Shiur and Svarno Parshas Kisavo. The Shiur this evening is co-sponsored by Mel and Phyllis Zachter, marking the yard site of his mother, Rose Zachter. And it's sponsored as well by Michael Meir, marking the yard site of his grandfather, Shlomo ben Avram, Isaac HaKohen, the Neshama Shereb and Aliyah, Shri Moshe Nachas Ruach, for the Tar Mitzvahs and Maisim Tovim, that the families are involved in. Towards the beginning of the Sedra, in Perek Chof Vav, Pasuk Yud Beis, we read the following: Kisechale laseres kol maser tvuascha b'shana ashlish shnas hamaser. When you finish setting aside all of the maestros, the tithes, after the third year, v'nosato lalevi lager layosam lamona v'achlu b'shorecho v'saveyu. And you've distributed the maestros to all of the appropriate parties. So you should then say the following before Hashem. I have taken all of the maestros and I've removed them from the house. In other words, I've given them to the appropriate parties. I gave the maestros to the people they're supposed to go to. I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't forget anything. I didn't eat from it when I was in a state of mourning. I didn't consume it in a state of tumah, etc. I did everything right. So Hashem, you look down from your holy abode, from the heavens. Bless your people Israel, bless the land that you gave to us. In other words, Bekitzer, in a few words, the person gets up, he makes a declaration, I did everything right, I did everything I was supposed to do with the maestros, with the tithes. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bless Klal Yisrael, bless Eretz Yisrael, everything should be good. What is this declaration called? So Rashi in Pasuk Yud Gimel alludes to it, V'yomartu lufnei Hashem Elokecha, you should say before Hashem, Hisvada shenotzato masro secha. Confess, you should be misvada, that you've given all of the appropriate maestros, and indeed Chazal refer to this declaration as vidui maestros, the confession of giving the maestros properly. And all of the mefarshim are bothered by the following question. Generally speaking, when a person confesses, he talks about what he did wrong. Here, the nature of this so-called vidui maestros is that you're talking about all the things you did right. You know, biarti hakodesh min habayis, misati v'alevi lager layosav v'amona, I did everything right. Asisi k'chol asher tzivisani, I did everything you commanded me to do, hakodesh baruch hu. So in what sense exactly is that a vidui? Why is that a confessional? Confessional means you talk about all the terrible things you did, you know, all the regrets that you have. Here the guy gets up and he says, I did everything correctly. So all the mefarshim try to understand what's the term vidui maestros that Chazal use over here. So the Svarno offers a very, very unique pshat in terms of understanding the term vidui maestros, and we'll see, it'll give us some insight into the psukim themselves. In Pasuk Yud Gimel, he writes as follows. Through our sins and the sins of our forefathers, husra ha'avoda me'habichoros, the divine service was taken away from the firstborn, who were originally the ones who were supposed to carry it out. We know that that happened in the wake of the Chetu Egel, after the sin of the golden calf. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, okay, it's not going to be the bichoros, it's not going to be the firstborn who will serve in whatever, you know, capacity in the Mishkan Beis HaMikdosh anymore. It's going to be Kohanim and Leviim. Asher lohem hoyu ru'uyos trumos u'maisros. And the truth is, the Becharos, the firstborn, really should have been the proper recipients of the trumos u'maisros. We know that trumos u'maisros are the various gifts that we give to the Kohanim and the Leviim. Originally, says the Svarno, that whole system of truma and maiser would have really gone to the Bechor. What's the whole idea of Truma Maiser, like we spoke about a little bit last night? Chelef Avodaschem Ba'ol Moed. The Pasuk says that the Trumas and the Maiseres are essentially wages. The Kohanim and the Leviim didn't hold down a regular job. You know, they were busy learning Torah, teaching Torah, serving in the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash. They were involved in holy things. So the way they were supported were these various matanos, these various gifts, the trumas and maisos and other things that were given to them by the population, by the people. And in an alternative universe, so the Becharos, the firstborn, would have been the ones who would have been learning Torah, teaching Torah, serving in the Mikdash and the like, and they would have been the recipients of Trumas and Maestros. By the way, we should just point out, this Svarno, in a word, is clearly going against an idea from the Maharal, which we mentioned a few years ago when we learned the Gur Aryeh. Maharal raises the following kasha. He says, we understand that the Avodah was taken away from the Becharos after the Cheto Egel, after the sin of the golden calf. And yet we find that in Parshas Tetzaveh, the Ribbono Shel Olam commanded about the Bigdei Kohuna, the various different vestments that were going to be worn by the Kohanim, and the Gur Aryeh, the Maral, assumes that the way the Torah presents the Parshios is in chronological order. In other words, that Parshas Tetzaveh was taught to Moshe Rabbeinu before the Cheto Egel. If so, so the Ribbono Shel Olam already had in mind that the Kohanim would have special garments, that the Kohanim would serve in the Mishkan even before the Cheto Egel took place. So what are you telling me, that the Avodah was taken away from the Becharos and given to the Kohanim and the Levim? There was clearly a plan for Kohanim to be involved even before the Cheto Egel. So what are we talking about? So the Maral says the following teretz, and again it's clear that the Svarno disagrees with this answer. The Maral says, Chiddush, that the Kohanim were always supposed to be the ones who would bring the Karbanos. The plan was for the Becharos to fill the role that was eventually given to the Levim. So the Levim replaced the Becharos, but the role of the Kohanim was the same before the Cheto Egel as it was after the Cheto Egel. It's clear from the Svarno over here that he disagrees with that Maral. I mean, it's not the craziest thing. I mean, the Maral itself, the Maral's position is a Chiddush, I think. It's a novel idea. But it's clear the Svarno says that Truma and Maaser would have gone to the Becharos. It would have gone to the firstborn. Truma is what's given to the Kohanim. It's clear that the Becharos were usurped not only by the Levim, but they were usurped by the Kohanim as well, according to the Svarno, which again fits in with, what about the Maral's Kasha? So the Svarno, Lashitaso, the Svarno, you know, just following what he says earlier in Chumash, it's not a Kasha according to the Svarno. The Svarno understands, however you read the Psukim, that before Cheto Egel, there was no concept of having a Mishkan. So in other words, Truma and Tetzava, although they appear in Chumash prior to Parshas Kisisa, when the story of the Cheto Egel is related, nonetheless, the commandments associated with Truma and Tetzava, the building of the Mishkan, the Bigdei Kohuna, all of that was only related to Moshe Rabbeinu after the Cheto Egel, the way the Svarno understands. So he's not bothered by the question of the Maral, and it's clear that the answer of the Maral was not his was not something he would agree with either. In any case, that's a side point. Let's come back to the main point over here. So he says that originally the avoda of both Kohanim and Levim was supposed to be performed by the Becharos, and they were supposed to get the Trumos u'Maisros. V'zehu vidui Maiser sheizkiru Rabboseinu Zal. So when Chazal talk about the person over here engaging in vidui Maisros, the confession of Maestros. In what sense is it a confession? He says he did everything right. That's not a confession. You're right, says the Svarno. The guy himself who's making this confession is blameless. We have no tainas to him. Our taina, our complaint, so to speak, is to the system. What do you mean, the system? The fact that the guy has to give Maestros to the Levi altogether is an expression of a failure of Klal Yisrael. Because had everything gone as planned, the person would not be giving his Maestros to the Levim, he'd be giving his Maestros to the Becharos. He'd be giving his Maestros to the firstborn. So it's a vidui, insofar as the very fact that he says, I've given Maestros to the Levi, as you've commanded me to do, is essentially reminding everyone there, including himself, of the fact that there was a Chet HaEgel, that there was a sin of the golden calf. That's the vidui. Every time the guy gets up and says, Osisi kechol asher tzivisani, I've done everything that you commanded me to do, Ribono Shel Olam, he's implicitly mentioning, he's implicitly confessing the fact that Klal Yisrael committed the sin of the Egel Azov of the golden calf. A fascinating way of understanding this idea of vidui maestris. But let's take it a little further. The person says, Biyarti HaKodesh Min Abayis V'gam Nisativ LaLevi V'lager LaYosef V'lo Amona. I've removed all of the maestros from the house, and I've also, V'gam, and I've also given it over to the Levi, the convert, the orphan, the widow, all of the people who might not have someone else to support them in Klal Yisrael. What's the V'gam, and I've also? Now, let's say that you wouldn't have had the V'gam, the also. Bi'arti HaKodesh Min Abayis. I removed all of the Meiser from the house. In what way? You put it in the dumpster? What do you mean you removed it from the house? I mean, obviously it means you gave it to its appropriate parties. Otherwise, what are you saying? I took all the maestros out of the house. If the whole point is that you did everything you were supposed to do, it kind of follows by definition that removing them from the house means that you gave them to the appropriate parties. Removing from the house and leaving them on the side of the curb, you know, you put out a little sign that says free, you know, free maestro, take two. Right, you know, so you know, you're not doing anyone any favors. What's the gam nisati? And I also gave it over. So beautifully, the Sfarna writes as follows: Tam gam kitam af al pi. Usually, the word gam is translated as also. I also gave it to the Levi, etc. But we find occasionally that gam can be interpreted as af al pi, notwithstanding the fact or despite the fact. Where do we see that gam means despite the fact? I never heard of that definition before. So he quotes the pasuk from Megillas Rus. Gam hoyisi halaylo leish v'gam yoladati vonim. So in the beginning of Megillas Rus, so both Rus and Arpa are speaking to Naomi, who is, you know, all three women have been widowed of their husbands, unfortunately. Naomi is making her way back to Eretz Yisrael. Rus and Orpah want to go with her, and Naomi is trying to dissuade them. She's trying to say, stay home, I have nothing for you. And she says to them, so, Gam hoyisi halaylo leish v'gam yoladati bonim halohen tisaberna, which translated means, even if I would get, says Naomi, even if I were to get married today, and I would have children tonight, I would have sons tonight, are you telling me, my dear daughters-in-law, that you would stick around for these sons to grow up and then marry them? Clearly, you wouldn't want to do that. Clearly, we're talking about something that would take, you know, 20 years and 9 months, right, for you to stick around and make it worth your while. So, there's no point in your sticking around. The expression, gam hoyisi halaylo leish, does not mean, also, tonight, I would marry, but gam hoyisi halaylo leish means, and even if I were to get married tonight, and the gam yoladati bonim, and even if I were to have children tonight, there would be no point, it would be fruitless, it would be silly for you to sit around and wait for them to grow up and marry them. So we find, says the Sfarna, this very interesting use of gam, in the sense of even if, or despite, or nonetheless, it's a word which can imply a contrast. And that's what he means over here as well by the phrase, V'gam nesativ lalevi. Yomar imkein, the pasuk over here means as follows. Mo de'ani, I confess, ki godol avoni shegoramti levar hakodesh min habayis. I confess that the sin that caused me to have to remove the trumos and maestros from the house is a terrible sin. But despite the fact that I fulfilled your mitzvah in giving it to the Levi, the fact that bi'arti hakodesh min habayis, the fact that I had to take the trumas u'maisus out of the house, is reflective of a terrible sin. What do you mean it's reflective of a terrible sin? So the Sfarno asked us to consider as follows. What would be if there hadn't been a chet or ego? So as he said before, the firstborn would get trumas u'maisus. So every household has a firstborn. So you'd never have to remove the trumas u'maisus from the house. All you'd have to do is go upstairs to the older brother's room, where he's sitting and steiging away, and you'd hand him the trumas u'maisus. Right? Every household would have a bechor. Okay, maybe, not every household exactly, but, every family unit would have had a bechor. You wouldn't have to outsource the trumas u'maisus. You'd be able to keep the trumas u'maisus in the house. So that accounts, it's a beautiful reading of the Psukim, because it accounts for the whole phrase, Bi'arti HaKodesh Min Habayis. Why do we need that phrase? If the guy wants to say, I fulfilled the mitzvahs of Maisrus by giving the Maisrus to the appropriate parties, let him just say, V'yomartu l'vnei Hashem Elokecha, Nosati HaKodesh L'Alevi V'Lager L'Yosom V'Lo Amona. Right, we know the Torah is always looking to save words. The Torah is not interested in any extra words, any extra letters. Nosati hakodesh la levi la ger la yosav la amana.
It's meaning if you're already saying what the vidu is.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's why the Gemara fits in very nicely
with the vidu. No, but the point is like this. So why do you need the phrase bi'arti hakodesh min habayis? So the way, the Pashut Pshat, the way you understand, B'yarti HaKodesh Min Habayis, is the guy's patting himself on the back. I had all these maestros sitting around on the third shelf of the cabinet, and they were sitting around, just waiting there. So tzaddik that I am, I took them out of the cabinet, and I removed them from the house, and I also gave them to all the recipients. That's the Pashut Pshat, but it's clumsy. It's a clumsy way of expressing that. First of all, what's this two stages? I took all the meiser out of the house, and I gave it to the appropriate. I gave it to the appropriate people. I took it out of the house. So the way he understands bi'arti hakodesh min habayis is not the guy patting himself on the back. It's the guy clapping himself on the chest. Nebuch bi'arti hakodesh min habayis. Nebuch that I had to give over the trumas u'maisrus to people other than the b'charos. Had we not sinned by the chet ha'ego, I wouldn't have to be mifar hakodesh min habayis. I would have been no saying it to the Bukhar who's sitting upstairs in my house, or to the Bukhar next door, or the Bukhar down the road, or whatever it is. The fact that I have to go running around and giving it to the Levi, that is expressive of the fact that we sin. And now comes the Sfarno, and he adds the following. Right? So I did the right thing, I gave it to the Levi, even though the very fact that I have to give it to the Levi is an expression of sinfulness, not personal sinfulness, but collective sinfulness of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, ani mispalel shetashkif hashkafa letova b'makom hashkafa lera haruya la'avoni. I therefore daven that when you, Hashem, look down from Shamayim, you should look down upon us with favor, as opposed to looking down upon us with disfavor, which really, on a certain level, we deserve because of the chet ha'ego. Now here, the Sfarno, in a few words, without really spelling it out, is addressing a pasuk, a Rashi, and giving his own spin on what we're going to see in the pasuk and the Rashi, right? So the Vidui Maisrus, as we said before, ends off with the pasuk, look down from your holy abode in the heavens and bless your people Yisrael. Right? So Chazal over here make the following comment. Kol hashkafa shebemikra hi lera'a. Right? Generally speaking, whenever the Torah uses the term lehashkif, to look down, when it describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu looking down from Shamayim, it's never good. It's always HaKadosh Baruch Hu looking down in the sense of punishment. Right? Then the Psukim, you look back in Psukim by the Mabul, by the Dor HaPlaga, whenever it talks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu being mashkif from heaven, it's always bad. With the exception of this particular example, And say Chazal, so what this example shows you, Hashkifa Mim'on Kodshecha in our Pasuk means HaKadosh Baruch Hu look down for good and bless the Jewish people. So Kamen Chazal, you see the power of Matnas Aniyim, you see the power of giving tzedakah to poor people, that it takes what normally would be a Hashkafa L'ra'a, looking, Hashem looking down with a, in a negative sense, you know, in the sense of looking to punish, and it transforms it into HaKadosh Baruch Hu looking down in a positive sense, looking to reward. That's what Chazal say. The question is as follows. Why did the Torah have to make it so complicated? Right? The point over here is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us a bracha. So why should the Torah deliberately use a term that that is usually used to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishing us, and say, this would normally be a punishment, except HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the schus, in the merit of the matnas aniyim, of the tzedakah that we're giving, takes the hashkafa l'ra'a and turns into hashkafa l'tova. It takes the looking down, which is negative, and makes it positive. What made it negative to begin with? Why use the word l'hashkif? Why use the word hashkifa? You know, habita, you know, there's many other words you could use in Hebrew that wouldn't get involved in this whole complicated thing. The hashkafa that was originally l'ra'a should now become l'tova. Why are we making things complicated over here? So according to the Sfarno, the answer is as follows, because the truth is, the very act of vidui maisrus, in a sense, is inviting, you know, rachmano litzlan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's punishment. The person who's misvada ala maisrus, the person who makes this confessional about the maisrus, is implicitly calling attention to the fact that we sin by the cheto ego. And that's why the terms of maisrus were taken away from the Bukharim, and that's why they were given to the Kohanim and the Levim. So the minute the person opens his mouth and says, Biarti HaKodesh min Abayis, I no longer can give the terms of maisrus in-house. I have to give them out-of-house. I have to give them to the Levim, to the Kohanim. The minute he says that, he's inviting a hashkafa l'ra'a. He's inviting HaKadosh Baruch Hu to look down in a negative sense. Oh, but the power of the matnas aniyim, the power of the fact that in the end of the day he's helping out the poor people, is to take what otherwise would have been a very negative perspective that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have on this person, not because this person did anything wrong, but because the whole situation is a result of the cheto ego, and it changes, it transforms the hashkafa l'ra'a, the looking down from a bad perspective, into hashkafa l'tova. That's what the person is begging. Hashkifa mim'on kodshecha, I know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that in a certain sense, when you're looking down, we're trying to duck, you know, we're afraid of you looking down. But uvarech hazamcha Yisrael, please bless Klal Yisrael, despite the fact that we're still sinful, we're still suffering with the after effects of the Chet Ho'ego and everything that we experienced at that time. And that, he concludes, is what the bracha is all about. Uvarech Hasamcha is Yisrael, v'yeis ho'adoma asher nosata lanu. Right? So the person asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bless Klal Yisrael, and to bless the land which he gave to us. To bless Klal Yisrael and bless Eretz Yisrael. What's that driving at? So he says as follows. Ba'oso ha'ofen, asher nishbatu lavoseinu, kisha'amarta ale eschem e'oni mitzrayim el Eretz tova urechava. Not only do we ask you to bless us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we ask you to fulfill the promise, the oath that you made to our forefathers when they were still in Egypt. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu promise our forefathers in Egypt? A, I'll take you out of Egypt. B, I'll take you to a land that's an Eretz Tova Rechava. That's a land which is beautiful and spacious and so productive in terms of everything that it has. Right? So, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only to bless us, but to fulfill that particular promise, ensure that the land continues to be a land which is a prosperous land, which is a good land, and which, you know, continues to give us the wherewithal to give these various maestros to different people. Okay, we'll pick up tomorrow night. Bez Hashem, Rav Chanan ben Akasha Omer, Ratzah Kodesh